scriptures for the world to see. There is nothing with which God can be impressed in man. And so our Lord, seeing their true need, cleanses and purifies them. He washes their feet and feeds them. He gives them his body and his blood. And then he warns them of what is to come. A little while, and you will not see me. A little while, and you will see me. Their minds are too feeble to understand. They are too caught up in themselves. So he gives it to them in the simplest of terms. You will have sorrow, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. Do not give up hope in what the prophets have prophesied, when what I have foretold occurs. Do not be dismayed when the Son of Man is betrayed and scourged and killed. This is necessary, and it is good. This is the will of the Father. In a little while you will not see me, but do not give up hope. I will return. I will bring you peace. I will usher in my kingdom of grace. As he spoke to them, can you hear him speaking to you? A little while and you will see me again, for I am not ashamed of you. And I will take you to my Father, reconciled, clean, and pure, and I will declare you before all of creation to be my beloved and dearest bride. Do not believe the taunts and the mockings by others in the locker rooms or the playgrounds. Do not be intimidated by the snickering at the workplace water cooler. No matter what they say, no matter how they might point out that you are a hypocrite or a sinner, you are mine, and I will not forsake you. No matter how you fail, no matter what you do, I love you. In a little while, you will not see me, but again, in a little while, you will. And so we went that night to the garden of betrayal, to the mocking trial in front of the high priest, to Pilate's lying judgment hall. He endured Herod's false worship and cruel teasings. The Romans scourged, tore his flesh. He was betrayed, displayed before all the world naked, dying, powerless. The ironic title over his head, the King of the Jews, was more true than they knew. The upper room crowd was scattered and afraid, while all the beautiful people, the powerful people, the wealthy, the connected, laughed and pointed with derision. Look, there, fools. There is your God strung up on the cross like a worm on a hook. You'll never be as good as us. You will be just like him. And so it was true. He's a worm and no man. A worm on a hook to catch Satan and end that tyranny. He is a worm and no man, for he is man and more. He is God in the flesh. And so it is that their mockery is true. You should look upon the cross and see their God like a worm on a hook. You should look there and not be ashamed, for he let them do all of that to him, that justice would be served, that accusations would be dispersed, that the payment would be made, that the devil's head would be crushed, and the heavens would be opened. identify with him because he has identified with you. You will have sorrow, but your sorrow will be turned into joy, for it is through his crucifixion that he gained you new life. He was weak and despised, that you would be strong in his grace and love by God. And what could be better than to be like him? He died, but he's not dead. He rose and he lives. The disciples saw him again. He came back to them in the upper room. He showed them his scars. He pronounced peace upon them. He forgave and comforted them and breathed his Holy Spirit into them. He brought them to suffer. But through their crosses, they were sustained to eternal life. They were brought to be like Jesus. And may you be brought to the same fate, bringing you to take up your cross daily, bringing your old Adam, your constant rebellious flesh, to daily drown and die, that the new man might arise by the power of the gospel. Only the new man could desire and rejoice in such a cross, making you aware of the selfish struggle within you, yet keeping you trusting, hoping, and believing in his goodness, no matter what. Jesus went to the Father just as he foretold. He ascended as a man and as your brother into heaven, and thus he paved the way for all of mankind through death and into life. Thus did he turn the sorrow of the 11 into joy, for he came back. So also will he turn your sorrow into joy. For though he left at the ascension and ascended into heaven with his body, he is not gone. He is here. For he said unto his holy apostles, lo, I will be with you always, unto the very end of the age. And so he is with you through his word and sacraments, in the apostolic ministry, in the baptizing and teaching. He speaks to you in the Holy Scriptures. You are his children. He comforts you with the Holy Scriptures. He lays his hands upon you in holy absolution. He bespeaks you righteous. He even enters inside of you and makes you a temple, not made with hands, sanctified by the Spirit, choosing to abide in you as he enters in you through his body and blood. He cleanses and purifies your heart. He forgives your sins. He kindles your hope and faith, and he turns your sorrow into joy, because he died and he lives. The flesh will struggle with the little wild part of Jesus' word. Joy is not the same as happiness. Joy on this side of glory is always tinged, always stained with sorrow, because nothing on this side of glory is ever perfect in life, except for the means of grace. It's never just right, except for the means of grace. You still live in the flesh. You're still weak, and the chaos of sin is still upon you, as evidenced in just about every headline as shown constantly on television news: shootings, robberies, domestic violence, Boston, Texas, Yes.